the spirituality and the level of, moral and ethical teachings that were prevalent in the society. So with this in mind, we start to understand some of the dialogues that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam has with the people around him. In one such conversation, he was speaking to one of his companions, and he started to talk about how Allah the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala says some really interesting things to the son of Adam, to the son of Prophet Adam, meaning to humanity. And in this conversation, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam says to the companion that Allah says, O son of Adam, O humanity, you are not fair to me, meaning you are not fair to Allah. In response, in order to explain this a little bit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I endear myself to you through blessings, meaning I give you blessings, I give you so many things, I give you everything that you have, I have given you, literally everything that you have, and that is a blessing, is from the Almighty Allah. And in return, what does humanity do? What does the individual human being do? You make yourself hated via committing sins. What an interesting thing here that is said, apparently narrated by Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam in this conversation with the companion. And what an interesting thing to think about, this idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He endows us with blessings, He gifts us blessings, He gives us blessings. You know, many a times these blessings that we don't even think about, blessings that we don't even thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, whether it's something as basic as existence, there was no need for us to come into being, for us to exist. This itself is a blessing from the Almighty Allah. The fact that we exist, the fact that we are alive, the fact that we have five senses that work, these are all different kinds of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And the list is endless if we start to count our blessings. And in return, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us? Allah says that you human beings, you make yourself hated and despised by doing what? By committing sins. Sins meaning the fact that we disobey the Almighty Allah. We break the commands of the Almighty Allah. We don't bother to do what Allah has told us to do. We don't bother to not do what Allah has told us to not do. And when you put the two things together in this equation, you really start to realize how ungrateful we are as human beings, and really how shameful we are that we take all of these blessings and in return we do and we commit the disobedience of the Almighty Allah. So what better way than today to change our life, to realize the blessings that Allah has given us, to stop committing and to go ahead and stop committing sins, turn back to the Almighty Allah, and make amends from now on. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Puraza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the World with Reporters.
Tehran has hosted a conference on Palestine to discuss the latest developments in the besieged Gaza Strip. The event was attended by representatives of Palestinian resistance movements, including Hamas. The participants believe despite Israel's brutal bombardment of Gaza, Palestinian resistance fighters will be victorious at the end.
What's happening in Gaza is a genocide taking place in front of the eyes of all people across the world. But Gaza will not surrender, and the resistance continues to shoot rockets at the Zionist settlements. Undoubtedly, the Al-Aqsa flood operation will change the principles governing the conflict with Israel completely, or at least to a large extent, and this will bring good regional and international consequences. Victory will be with Palestinians.
Israel launched a war on Gaza on October 7th after Palestinian Hamas resistance group waged a surprise attack, dubbed Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, against the occupying regime. Israel's military has also ordered 1.1 million people living in northern Gaza to evacuate their homes amid signs of intensifying its offensive. Tens of thousands of Palestinians have fled south following the order. The United Nations has warned it is impossible for such a movement to take place without devastating humanitarian consequences. Human rights groups have stressed that depriving an occupied population of basic necessities is a war crime.
The only thing in front of our people today is to face alone the atrocities of this barbaric hegemony of and offensive of the Israeli army. And as I said, the diplomatic statements from the Western government, it's very, very weird and unacceptable by our own people. What is the meaning that the British and the American, they are announcing a war against our resistance? This is a resistance which has been legitimate under the international law because they are defending themselves against the occupation. We are under the occupation and we are in state of defense against the continuous atrocities and offensive of the Israeli army for the last 75 years.
According to the Gaza Health Ministry, at least 2,750 Palestinians have been killed and 9,700 wounded in Israeli airstrikes on the Strip. Tehran says the history of the apartheid regime is filled with assassinations, massacre, torture and killing of children. It says Tel Aviv's horrific killing of Palestinian women and children is indicative of the destitute of the regime.
Political analysts believe that Israel has no one to blame but itself for the war with Palestinians. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Huge numbers of pro-Palestine demonstrators marched on Downing Street Saturday amid the UK government's outpouring of support for Israel's regime. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has spearheaded a controversial British response to the latest violence in Gaza, a reaction which many have condemned as reckless and criminal.
These protesters are furious, and not just at the horrific images and videos coming out of occupied Palestine right now, but also at the British authorities, who are throwing accusations at protesters like this as somehow being anti-Semitic or sympathising with terrorism, simply for coming out and supporting the Palestinian cause.
Reports have already surfaced alleging that a Palestine activist in Manchester was arrested for wearing a Palestine flag. This comes after Home Secretary Suella Braverman warned that waving a Palestine flag could be classed as criminal in some cases.
First and foremost, it's very clear there is double standards. If a government is supporting Ukraine and Ukraine are resisting the occupation, then we have to say why is there a double standard for the people in Palestine when we know, without a shadow of doubt, 70 years have gone by, they are under occupation. So holding a flag, it doesn't make sense for a people to come under attack only simply because they are showing solidarity for a people who are the Muslim and the people who are oppressed.
I feel disgusted and I feel unsurprised. At the end of the day, Palestinians, majority of us are Muslim, we are coloured, we are not European, so I'm unsurprised and I'm disgusted from the racism that's been going on. I'm absolutely disgusted and I'm unsurprised, but it needs to end now.
of the Palestinian diplomatic representative.
In response to Britain's eagerness to support Israel amid the violence, Conservative Party MP Crispin Blunt issued a warning that the UK could face legal action if it does not do more to restrain Israel amid war crimes accusations.
I'm not entirely sure that my colleagues have quite grasped the legal peril that they are in or fully understand.
Listeners, here we interrupt the normal course of our program and go live to Press TV headquarters, where it is covering the latest developments in Palestine and the occupied territories. Let's take a listen.
Society incurs nothing for humanitarian concerns of the Palestinians in Gaza or indeed the West Bank. It has no concerns and does not value human life other than Jewish human life in Israel. I think that when we look at Joe Biden, I believe he used a term along the lines of that it wasn't the Israelis responsible for the bombing of the hospital, it was another team. So you can take whatever imprint you want out of that. I believe he was meeting with the Egyptian president and I assume the king of Jordan, along with he was supposed to meet Abbas, Mahmoud Abbas, today. This is to further this idea that people from Gaza will go into the Sinai and people from the West Bank will go into Jordan. I think he was going to pressurise the Egyptians, pressurise the Jordanians, and remembering that that Sisi, the president of Egypt, was actually installed in a coup backed by America. So he's America and Israel's man. And the King of Jordan was Jordan set up after the Sykes-Picot Agreement in the First World War, creating these kingdoms that were loyal to Britain. So there you have the King of Jordan as another Western puppet. And what is it, 50, 60, 70% of Jordanians are Palestinians, yet they are actually actively discouraged from celebrating their Palestinian heritage. And I was actually in Jordan, in Amman, the capital, several years ago on a convoy to Gaza, and it was in and around the 15th of May when people remember the Nakba, and there was no official or unofficial remembrance of that in Jordan. And when I asked, because I wanted to go to a protest or a memorial, I was told that it was frowned upon. So this is what we're up against: lies, intolerance, inhuman disrespect for the lives of others. Biden incurs nothing for the Palestinians in Gaza or the West Bank. Isn't he responsible for the war in Ukraine? Isn't he responsible for the coup, the right-wing neo-fascist coup in Kiev in 2014? You know, the bomb of Afghanistan, we can just like keep repeating history, but they have no respect for human life, and they just control the narrative to form the consensus so that the people within their own countries will accept what's being done in their names by their elected leaders through their armed forces. And the propaganda war and the psychological war continues day by day. There's no respite for the Palestinians, and there's no respite for the propaganda that spins truth 24 hours a day. And was it Malcolm X said, if you're not careful, the media you read, you'll be supporting the oppressors and denying the oppressed their rights.
The fact that there is this promotion that has been behind uprooting the Palestinians and then distributing them in other locations like their objects that can be done. Mm-hmm. That is pretty significant in terms of how illogical that would sound and how this would, on the Palestinian point of view, the ones who are having these decisions being made for them, that's another uprooting out of their land that they belong to. What's the thought process behind that? We know that initially that was rather quick in terms of the reactions of the Persian Gulf Arab countries like Qatar, like Iran, like Saudi Arabia, that said that that's just not feasible to pull them out of the Gaza Strip and relocate them. I'm trying to also understand the American approach towards that, if they support that. You have perhaps the Blinken saying that since Arab countries don't support that, we're not going to go through with it, but maybe Biden is singing another tune in that regard. Can you explain that to us?
I think, first of all, the first comment I would make is surely it is contra-intuitive to make refugees when human compassion should automatically reach out to refugees. So Israel is creating this crisis. Israel is trying to create another Nakba, another Naxa, and totally depopulate historic Palestine and occupy Palestine of its ethnic indigenous peoples. I don't listen to Anthony Blinken. I don't listen to Biden. I might hear what they're saying when I watch programs like Press TV, and I follow the midstream, is it Middle Eastern stream, and Spotlight, and Palestine Declassified, and Break the Silence, all programs I've watched recently here on press television. So what the Americans say in public is not what they're doing in private. I mean, they support fully Israel's right to defend itself, but call upon the Israelis to create as many, it's a Freudian slip by me, as few civilian casualties as possible in Gaza. And then they watch a million refugees being created in 10 days. 1 million people. That's just a number to these people. They want to make 2 million, never mind 1 million. So we're facing just, it's an existential threat to the whole region. It's not just the Palestinians. And America is fully supportive of Israel's attempt to depopulate Palestine of its ethnic and indigenous population. And just on that, I've always thought, I've had this idea that it's the Zionists who are wagging the tail. They're the dog that wags the tail in America. But as America has finally come out and shown itself not to be an honest broker in negotiations between Palestinians and Israelis or anyone else in the region, it is now proof to anyone who has eyes to see and ears to hear what is happening in the region that America is controlling Zionist policy and not the other way around, because America wants Israel to continue to divide the Arab community in West Asia from their Persian brothers and sisters and from each other, in order to divide and continue to conquer and resource steal vital oil and gas supplies from the region.
We can maybe put this conversation into another context, and it'd be great if you can help us out to either go against the notion of what I'm about to tell you, or tell us that maybe you agree or not, and break this up a little bit. Break this open, I should say. And that is the fact that when we go into and look at this whole thing in the context of a new world order, with just the mere fact that you have Blinken, which you said you don't really pay attention to, but when he made his rounds with the Arab countries of the Persian Gulf, he was not really welcomed that much in terms of getting the idea for these countries to basically blame Hamas for everything. And many deducted that to mean that the U.S. is not... first of all, does not have that kind of influence in the region any longer. And then when you take a look at what is happening here in terms of Israel itself, it seems like there's this shift that is going on. You know, we're seeing Israel, obviously, to have really been the whole notion of this invincibility to be quashed by what happened with the infiltration and the attack that took place by the resistance factions. So basically, my question is, are we looking at, as Netanyahu put that cardboard up in the UN without Palestine on it, that maybe the situation could be the other way around?
Okay, well, yes, there's a lot in that, but what Netanyahu done was a complete provocation to the resistance access in the region and in Palestine by showing Palestine as totally colonized by the Israeli Jewish Zionist settler movement. Yes, the new multipolar world order has so significantly changed the future of the planet that I personally cannot wait for it to come in fully into being. You see, Biden did have the coup in Kiev in 2014, they set the fascists against the Russian-speaking Orthodox Christians in eastern Ukraine, and they had a war of 8 years. Russia then went in to protect its people from the very thing we're witnessing in Gaza. It's just struck me that if the Russians hadn't gone in when they did, there were something like 700,000 Ukrainian neo-Nazis on the border with Luhansk and Donetsk, and that was going to be a massacre probably of similar proportions to what we are witnessing in Gaza, because it's a similar size population in those two oblasts in eastern Ukraine. I can't help feeling, and I did mention it before, that maybe Operation Al-Aqsa Flood maybe just came too soon before this new multipolarity has enough influence within the region with Saudi Arabia, with Qatar, with the UAE, with the actions of resistance, that there could have been much, much, much more political and potentially military support for the resistance in Gaza. But I respect their right to react when, where, and at what time that the resistance sees fit to defend the people of Palestine. So, you know, it did show up the weakness of the Israeli army and the Israeli government, and it proves what other people have said, that potentially Israel is a house of cards. And if you can shake the foundations, the roof will collapse. That will collapse in people leaving Israel and all these carpetbaggers. The carpet bomb Gaza, but Israel is full of carpetbaggers. They have their joint nationalities. They can go back to Russia, back to America, back to France, back to Britain, back to Belgium, back to the Netherlands. And I so wish they would, and take their hatred and take their intolerance and take their bloodlust and thirst for the death of Palestinians with them. So things have utterly changed. I do genuinely believe that. The question is, what happens to the Gazans in the meantime? What happens to the people in the West Bank while the rest of humanity waits for this multipolar society and world order, which is going to be based, I believe, on mutual respect, on mutual tolerance and mutual benefit? The phrase that a rising tide lifts all ships. We should end Western hegemony where the elite are ripping the rest of the world of its money, resources and its power, and have a multipolar world society based on treating people with equality and humanity, and that people work together for the benefit of everyone. And hopefully Israel will be fully ostracized, and I don't know what the future holds, but Netanyahu won't be in power, I don't believe, much after this campaign is finished in Gaza. It's a question of whether or not Israeli society will tear itself apart, because as one section moves further to the right and one secular section complains about the overzealousness of the new right-wing government, that potentially has the opportunity to tear Israeli society apart. And, you know, Israelis were leaving long before Operation Al-Aqsa Flood began. But that flood could become a deluge, and let's hope it does.
And in 1 minute, when you say the House of Cards is going to fall apart, do you see that in the short term?
I think it's possible. I think the Israeli army has been proven that it cannot defend Israeli society. I mean, I don't believe there are any civilians in Israel. Anybody under 18 who's not been involved in the IDF is an innocent non-combatant. Anybody over 18 who's a reservist in the IDF, who's had military training, who has a weapon in their house as an illegal settler, they are all combatants. And I think that it's possible that if we can reach a point with the access of resistance, that people in Israel feel that it's not the land of milk and honey, it's not the Jewish homeland that they were striving for, it's a place where their own inhumanity is reflected back to them, by the people in the region. When they feel a smidgen of the pain, death, suffering, and fear that they are inflicting upon Palestinians, I think, yes, the House of Cards could fall.
Thank you so much for that and your contribution, Frahis. We appreciate it. Journalist, author, and activist there from Belfast. Thank you so much. That brings us to an end for our rolling coverage. We are going to take just a quick break. Do stay tuned to Press TV. We'll be back in just a few minutes' time with international news.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Here we go back to the normal course of our programs. Many thanks for being with us.
Law in this area. You can't encourage powers to commit war crimes.
Onlookers watch in fear as Israel goes ahead with its bloodshed in the besieged Gaza Strip. Israel has already targeted Gaza with intense airstrikes. The brutal aggression has so far claimed the lives of more than 2,000 people and injured many others. Hundreds of thousands have also been internally displaced as a result of the regime's bombardment of the blockaded territory. Robert Carter, London.
Pro-Palestinian rally in Brussels once again attracted thousands after a similar event took place here last Wednesday. The misery being endured by civilians in Gaza and the unwillingness of Western powers to rein in Israel were factors highlighted by those in attendance.
Hospitals being bombed. Hospitals. They're telling people to evacuate. And then what happens? They're bombed again.
Yeah, they bombed the people who are evacuating. What would you say about that?
It is essentially, Gaza is a very big concentration camp.
My family is killed in Gaza yesterday. And my brother, and my uncle, every people killed in Gaza. That is not good for Israel. Israel is not good.
One sign read, "It is not about religion, it is about humanity. Stop genocide." Campaigners claim that Israel is attempting to wipe out Palestinians with the assistance of some Western powers.
The USA and the EU are actually very hypocrites because a genocide is finding place at this time in 2023.
There are a lot of kids killed and people have to move from their place and they have nowhere to go, etc. And that's really, really horrible for the people of Palestine.
It's a genocide, it's not a war. It's not a war. Palestine has not a military power, has not nothing.
They say that they are for peace, but in the same way they are sending weapons, they are sending bombs. It's not fair.
European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen was in Israel on Friday.
Europe stands with Israel.
During her media statement, she did not mention Palestinian victims once. Activists are calling on EU authorities to help stop the bloodshed and worsening humanitarian disaster in Gaza. European Council President Charles Michel announced on Saturday that an emergency meeting of EU leaders will take place via video conference on Tuesday evening. This has attracted a lot of criticism on social media, with people asking if they think it's such an emergency, why wait until Tuesday evening? Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Hundreds hit the streets of Istanbul to show solidarity with Palestinian people. The demonstrators condemned Israeli atrocities against Palestinian civilians and the siege imposed on the Gaza Strip. People chanted slogans against the United States, European Union, and Israel, accusing them of committing crimes by depriving Palestinian citizens living in Gaza from electricity, water, and medical supplies. They also condemned Israel's bombardment of the blockaded territory, which has so far resulted in the death of more than 2,000 civilians.
This state was built on bloodshed and forced migration. They continue to commit the worst inhuman crimes, and the whole world is watching. They are doing it with the help of the Western imperial countries. We are here to call our government and Muslim countries to unite their efforts to end this occupation.
The pro-Palestinian protest comes amid Western countries' unwavering support for Israel. This is while countries supporting the Palestinian resistance are very few. Protesters voiced their anger at their governments, who did not take serious moves to stop the bombing of Gaza.
We came here today to say that Gaza and Al-Aqsa Mosque, that they are not alone. Even if our governments did not move a finger to stand with Palestinians, we as people will always stand with the Palestine cause, for it is a humanitarian cause before all. We are here to voice our support to the Palestine resistance who are defending themselves and their people against Zionist crimes.
People from all walks of life, the elderly, women and children, attended the demonstration to pledge that the Palestinian cause is not political, but rather a humanitarian cause. They called the whole Muslim nation to stand up for Palestine.
We are here to defend our first Qibla, our brothers and sisters in Palestine who are facing ethnic cleansing by these fascist Zionists. We are certain that this land will be liberated no matter how much the US and West try. Palestine will be free and justice shall prevail. This is God's promise.
Saturday's rally is the second such a protest in Istanbul. It comes as Turkish officials are in touch with Egyptian authorities to facilitate the transfer of basic necessities, including food and medical supplies, to the people living in the Gaza Strip. People here called the government to take concrete steps to end the Israeli siege on Gaza and put an end to the regime's atrocities against innocent civilians. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Tens of thousands of Palestinians demonstrated across the occupied West Bank in support of their brothers and sisters in the besieged Gaza Strip and against Israeli airstrikes pounding the blockaded territory for almost a week. Thousands here in Ramallah poured out onto the streets after the Friday prayers, demanding the world not to turn a blind eye to the atrocities committed by Israel against the civilians in the long blockaded Gaza Strip.
It's a new stage in the ethnic cleansing of our people and a genocide. Our message to the whole world, the Palestinian people have the right to live, not to be killed. Immediate international intervention is required to end the massacres and end the Israeli occupation and prevent the current ethnic cleansing. We are all in the same boat, and we have the right to resist the Israeli occupation granted by the international laws.
Hundreds of Gazans living and working in Ramallah have been among the protesters. All of them told us they feel helpless. All of them are worried about their family members. They fear that if their beloved ones die, they will not be able to see them. And they wish they were there with their family under the airstrikes so they would die together.
Civilians are being murdered. We are not terrorists. We are not the murderers of children. This war must immediately come to an end. My family, my wife, and my children are there in Gaza. Can you imagine how I feel? I cannot sleep. It's painful to stay here and watch without being able to do anything when the Israelis are committing all sorts of atrocities against my people.
I wonder if the world is watching the children and infants in Gaza being slaughtered. 20 children from Abu al-Hayat family were slaughtered. They were my family's neighbors. The situation on the ground is awful. What should I say? What sort of message can we deliver? What's happening is so difficult. Only Allah can save us. No one will save Gaza today but Allah.
Following the rally in central Ramallah, scores of Palestinians from all walks of life marched toward areas where Israeli checkpoints were located across the occupied West Bank. Thousands of protesters arrived at the Beit El military checkpoint northern Ramallah and clashed with Israeli soldiers. The troops opened fire at the rally to disperse the angry protesters.
The scenes of slaughter and genocide committed against civilians in the Gaza Strip is a proof that Israel is trying to wipe out the entire besieged territory. And if this happens, people here say they will face the same destiny. Muna Qandil, Occupy Ramallah.
Chants against the U.S. and Israel resonated through streets of Pakistan as angry protesters set their flags alight. People across Pakistan came together to observe Friday as a day of solidarity with the Palestinians expressing their unwavering support for the liberation of Palestine. The gesture is intended to demonstrate Pakistan's commitment to the rights and welfare of Palestinian people. The streets of key Pakistani cities were filled with demonstrators condemning the ongoing Israeli aggression against the Palestinians in the occupied territories.
We can see that in the whole world, the people, they are now admiring that the Palestinian people, they have the right to live in their own homeland, which was actually over-occupied by the Israelis. So here, the people of Pakistan, they are showing their emotions, their sensation and their feelings to support this cause.
We are here to show the support to the people of Palestine.
We condemn the Israeli bombing on Gaza.
The Friday prayers in mosques across Pakistan were dedicated to Palestinian cause, with special prayers offered for peace and justice in the war-torn region. The demonstrators emphasized the importance of a just and lasting solution to the Palestine issue, one that recognizes the rights and aspirations of people of Palestine.
Today, the whole of Pakistan is on the streets to tell the people of Palestine that they are not alone and we all stand by you. You are the one who teaches us how to stand firm against the oppressor. Palestinians have not only shown that they are brave enough, but also prove that they are real Husseinis and are also true Muslims.
These protest rallies seek an end to violence, observance of human rights, and Palestinian liberation.
The protests in Pakistan are part of a global movement in support of the Palestinian cause. During rallies, people around the world express their solidarity with the Palestinians and call for an end to Israel's aggression. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
A large crowd of Afghans marching in Kabul to show their solidarity with Palestinians facing Israeli atrocities and bloodshed in Gaza. The protesters waved Palestinian flags and chanted slogans against Israel and the United States, saying they will stand with their brothers and sisters in Palestine forever.
The Afghanistan Mujahid Nation has gathered today here to appraise and to withstand with their brothers in Palestine, especially in Gaza, the Mubarak operation of Tufan al-Aqsa, which has shown us the weakness of our enemy, the Zionist enemy, Israel. And also we are here to stand with our civilian brothers and sisters who are being killed, tortured, and bombed, and being blasted by the Israeli Zionist regime, committing an act of war crime under the eyes of the international community by support of the biggest Satan of this world, the United States and the European countries.
The participants condemned the Israeli war on Gaza and U.S. support for the killing of innocent Palestinians. They also called on all Muslim nations to unite around Palestine and fight global arrogance and oppression.
The American tank, the American bomb, the American thing coming to Palestine, they killing Palestinian civilian. They kick out the Palestinian from his own house. The Muslims should stand together. They need to act together. The way the American, the Yahud, the Nasara act together, the Muslims should do the same thing. Why they are sleeping?
For the sake of God, it is a shame for the Arab nations to witness their Palestinian brothers suffer and do nothing. Where is your courage and Islamic brotherhood? If you are not supporting Palestine in the face of our worst enemy, you can't claim to be a Muslim. You should make it clear whether you are with the Muslim Ummah or with the occupiers.
The rally in Kabul was one of the many demonstrations held across the world in support of Palestine. Millions of Muslims condemned the Israeli regime's atrocities against the people of Palestine as the Tel Aviv regime kept pounding the Gaza Strip with bombs and continued its complete siege on the area. Afghan people have always supported Palestinians in the face of atrocities and occupation. Today, they join other nations to call for an immediate end to Israeli assaults and killings of innocent people in Gaza. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Music.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, we welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. Stay tuned. In a beautiful hadith, we read, love for the mundane world is the root of all sins and corruptions. Of course, this hadith means that we must not be attached to this world. This world is only a means to reach halal sustenance and make it a bridge to get to the other world. If we fall in love with this world, then we dare to do any type of mistake, sin, or corrupted deed.
Dear listeners, here we interrupt the normal course of our program to go live to Jeddah, the capital of Saudi Arabia, where Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian is giving a speech. Let's take a listen.
امروز در همه سفارتخانه های جمهوری اسلامی ایران در خارج از کشور پرچم جمهوری اسلامی ایران به نشانه همبستگی با شهدای فلسطینی به حالت نیمه برآشته در آمده است و ایران امروز را روز عزای عمومی سراسری اعلام کرده است. وزرای محترم، سیاست مستمر غصب اراضی فلسطین
Palestinian land and continuation of settlement construction and destruction of farmland and people's houses and torturing women, children, and men and controlling water resources and electricity and stopping the Palestinians from entering Al-Aqsa Mosque. They are nothing other than anti-human crimes by the Zionist regime in the occupied Al-Quds. Even the Christians' religious rituals have not been an exception. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation has been sticking with the aspiration of Palestine. And the issue of Palestine must be the priority of the Muslim community. Without a doubt, the Al-Aqsa flood operation proved that the issue of Palestine is still alive And that after the Al-Aqsa operation, Palestine will have a different status. After the operation, the women and children of Palestine will still remain steadfast and resilient. Now, within the framework of adopting practical measures and proactive measures in line with supporting the people of Palestine, the Islamic Republic of Iran proposes that, in the first place, Islamic countries should have coordinated efforts in order to immediately put a halt to the war crimes that the Zionist regime is committing against civilians, especially against women and children in Gaza. Now, action by Muslim states in order to open up corridors, in order to dispatch philanthropic aid to residents beleaguered in Gaza, especially medical equipment and water and food. This kind of humanitarian aid should be dispatched. And thirdly, we are of the opinion that it's essential that some the Zionist regime must be punished, and the warmongers of the Zionist regime need to be brought to justice, including jet fighter pilots, army commanders, and political figures. The fifth point, member states should ask the UN Security Council to pass resolutions in support of Palestine and helping them to decide their own fate and destiny and condemn settlement expansion. Six, it's necessary that the member states at the UN office in Geneva, their envoys need to adopt legal procedures in order to probe the crimes of the Zionist regime. Especially, emergency meeting should be held regarding human rights and directed at supporting Palestine, so that the crimes of the Zionist regime would be addressed. Seven, the Secretariat of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation should condemn the military aggression and crimes, war crimes of the Zionist regime that are in violation of international law and human rights. This is all what's been committed against the Palestinian people, and they need to be all put together and documented for future action and legal proceedings to be adopted in future, so that international tribunals and court sessions will be held against Israel at a later stage. And also, a delegation needs to be sent to Gaza to have a first-hand account of the situation there and see and be get informed about the Israeli genocide there. It's also essential that a team of legal experts, Muslim legal experts, be formed for protecting the rights of the Palestinian people, and perpetrators of the crimes, and also those who commit the ordered crimes, the war crimes, including fighter jet pilots and army commanders. Now, the crimes during which schools and hospitals, residential areas in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, they are targeted and hit. Now, any kind of action in order to forcibly push the people of Gaza from Gaza Strip should be condemned. This is a new crime against humanity that Tel Aviv is committing, and that needs to come to a halt. Now it's high time that Muslim countries, in order to stop genocide in Palestine, it's high time Muslim countries sever ties with the Israeli regime. And they have to impose sanctions on Israel and ban its products. And the last point, it's essential that religious figures and scholars, especially in the Balkans and in the Vatican, they also need to take some measures to stop the war crimes of the Zionists against Palestinians so that they could prevent aggression and atrocities against Muslim sanctities in Al-Aqsa Mosque and in different parts of the occupied territories. Thank you.
Dear listeners, what you heard was Iranian Foreign Minister Dr. Hossein Amir Abdullahian addressing OIC meeting in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. During this meeting, Iranian Foreign Minister said Zionist regime committing crimes against humanity in occupied Palestinian territories. The Iranian Foreign Minister said Palestinians will remain steadfast in resistance against Zionist regime occupation. Mr. Amir Abdullahian also said Iran calls on OIC member states to take united action to open humanitarian corridors in Palestine. Many thanks for being with us.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In a more sensible world, it would be the supporters of apartheid and ethnic cleansing that would be denounced and criminalized. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, most of the leading human rights groups say Israel is committing the crime of apartheid. It began its ethnic cleansing of Palestinians three quarters of a century ago, and oversees an illegal occupation that's been going on for more than half a century. During its decade and a half siege, the Zionist regime's military has killed more than 5,000 Palestinians in Gaza. Over the past days, the nuclear-armed Zionist regime has killed thousands of Palestinians, including hundreds of children. Alongside its onslaught on Gaza, the Zionist regime has also bombed Lebanon, Syria, and Egypt over the past days. Yet, it's those who have been rallying against Canada's contribution to the racist colonial enterprise who are being declared criminals by crazed politicians and supporters of the apartheid regime. Benai Brith sent a letter signed by Deputy Conservative Leader Melissa Lantzman, Senator Leo Housakas, and MP Shov Mojader to police chiefs in Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver, demanding that these rallies be stopped. They were referring to a series of emergency Palestine solidarity marches. The Prime Minister took up a benign, brief call. Justin Trudeau tweeted, "I strongly condemn the demonstrations that have taken place and are taking place across the country in support of Hamas attacks on Israel." Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre also condemned the Palestinian solidarity rallies in Canada. Quebec Premier François Legault said opposing apartheid was shameful and unacceptable, while Ontario Premier Doug Ford declared that hate rallies have no place in Ontario. In a sign of the Jewish Zionist community's immense power in Toronto, left-wing Mayor Olivia Cho put out a deceitful Islamophobic plea to suppress protesters' rights. She wrote, "The government of Canada has rightly listed Hamas as a terrorist organization, and we simply must not tolerate any support of terror, full stop. The rally to support Hamas and Nathan Phillip Square today is unsanctioned, without a permit, and I unequivocally denounce it. Glorifying this weekend's indiscriminate violence, including murder and kidnapping of women and children by Hamas against Israeli civilians, is deplorable." Major media outlets are calling for anti-apartheid protesters to be arrested. David Cochran, host of CBS Power and Politics, asked Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly whether Canadians who went to pro-Palestine rallies should be prosecuted for supporting terrorism. In the National Post, John Evigen called for federal legislation to criminalize the protest in an article headlined, "Tolerating the Glorification of Terror and Slaughter is Societal Suicide." He cited a 2015 report by a Senate Committee on National Security that concluded that hate laws should be strengthened to ban glorifying terrorist acts and symbols. Evigen also questioned whether Section 319 of the Criminal Code, inciting hatred against an identifiable group, could be used to arrest Hamas supporters in Canada, celebrating the attack on Israel. In a sign of the influence Zionist groups have built up with police departments, immediately after the flare-up recently, the RCMP, Ontario Provincial Police, as well as Vancouver, Winnipeg, Hamilton, Montreal, Edmonton, Calgary, Ottawa, and Toronto police departments put out a statement that subtly criminalized Palestine solidarity. Recently, the rally Toronto police tweeted a half dozen times about Israel and hate. In a more sensible world, it would be the supporters of apartheid and ethnic cleansing that would be denounced and criminalized. In a concrete example, the Vancouverite who was killed in the occupied territories was probably induced to join that regime's occupation force by his private school. King David High School should be investigated for possibly violating the Foreign Enlistment Act, which criminalizes inducing Canadians to join foreign militaries. Zionist hate speech could also be investigated. Montreal Zionist Jewish author Lauren Weiss was caught on video telling an Arab woman that she should be raped
and dragged in the street in front of your kids for having a Palestinian flag on her car. Vice rammed the woman's car. Similarly, in a rally effectively calling for the destruction of Gaza, the head of the Federation CJA, Montreal's umbrella Jewish organization, told an audience